Welcome to the Faith Church Podcast. On this podcast, Pastor David Crank helps us understand that God's Word is still relevant and has all the wisdom and guidance to help us figure out the crazy ups and downs in life. If you want to hear practical and inspiring biblical teachings, be sure to subscribe so that you can hear the latest message every week. And wherever you're listening from today, we believe God is going to speak to you and bless your life. Here's Pastor David with the message.
Come on, give it up for Jesus today. Come on, Faith Church around the world. He's alive. So you look amazing. You can be seated. If you're good looking, if you're ugly, remain standing. We want to pray for you now. We have a good time today. How many of y'all thank the drama team at all of our campuses? Did such a great job. Beautiful. They work so hard. It's amazing. Yeah, when I saw those flowers popping up, I was so surprised. I thought, man, that's the inspiration for my sermon. That it might feel like you're buried in debt, buried in depression, buried with no hope, but you're not buried, you're actually planted. I watched that one flower come up, you know, I'm like, oh my gosh, look, we got one flower up. And then before I knew it, they were just popping up everywhere. And I found in life that when you tend to win in one area, you start winning in all areas. But when you feel like you're like set back because something bad happened in your life, it can actually make you feel like, man, I'm never going to achieve my dreams. I'm never going to arise to that level. It's too late. Maybe you've been through a divorce, betrayal. Maybe it's an addiction, whatever it is. But the way I like to look at it is if God was done with you, you wouldn't be here. If you're still breathing, God still has a plan. And there can be certainly areas of your life that you feel like, man, oh, man, there's just no way. It's actually dead. The marriage is dead. This is dead. Listen, this is Resurrection Sunday. Anything can happen. My neighbor that I don't know if he knows Jesus yet or not, but how many of y'all know if he lives next to me too long, we'll get him. And he was walking around, he saw it, and he's looking at the flowers, and he said, oh, I'm so glad they're back. It's wonderful. And he said something, it was really cool. He said, isn't it amazing the resiliency of nature? I thought, well, that's a good way to put it, the resiliency of nature. Of course, I know the resiliency, and you know the resiliency of nature is the one who natured it, the one who manufactured it, of course, is God. But I love that word, resilient. I'm a homeschooler, so I just Googled. I'm like, hey, Siri, what's it mean? Here we go. It says the capacity to withstand or to recover quickly from difficulties, toughness, resilience. The ability of a substance or object to spring back in shape back to its original elasticity, resiliency. You're tougher than you think you are. You have more strength than you think you do. Especially now that you've received Jesus, there's a greater one on the inside of you. In Florida, my neighbor a few doors down is Tony Robbins, and he talks a lot about personal power, and that's beautiful. I love Tony and his wife Sage, they're great people. But it's not so much personal power that I want you to tap into, and everybody has personal power, but when you put the greater one on the inside of you by receiving Jesus, you have the ultimate power, the God kind of power. The Bible says, in him we live, in him we move. It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And you might have a natural ability, but then there's a supernatural ability that comes. I was actually just thinking about Landon Edmonds, his dad, Jim Edmonds from the Cardinals. He's a great ball player. His dad's a great ball player. So he naturally tends to play ball better than other people. Plus, he has a halfway decent coach in his dad, right, at the house. So you genetically might be predisposed to something negative or something positively. But all of a sudden now, this genetics goes away, and the family tree forked 2,000 years ago when Jesus hung on that tree, and he became your risen Lord and Savior, and now you're in the family of God. And I guess I say all that to say that God wants you back. He wants you back dreaming again. He wants you back hopeful again. Because there can be things that make you kind of depressed. I remember when I was 18 years old, I knew everything, and I got married. And I was married for 8 years, and then got divorced, and I was really depressed. And I thought it was over. Oh, my gosh. And in Fenton, Missouri, Florida, you don't know anything about this, but in Fenton, Missouri, right across this bridge, it was a pawn shop, and the guy at the pawn shop was best friends with Dave Munganess and the pawn man, and I just went in there for some reason, going divorce, and I was kind of crying to him a little bit. Y'all know you really don't have a lot of friends and you go to the pawn man at the pawn. And I went to Chuck at Fenton Pawn, and I said, man, I'm divorced, and it's blah, blah, blah. And he said, hey, did you have any kids? And I said, no. then he dropped an explicit language. He said, well, then blankety blank, forget it, move on. The best way to get over a girl is to get another girl. Quit crying and get out of here. And it kind of shook me. I realized, wow, I didn't learn that in church, but thank God for the pawn man who told me that there's a better life. Then I met Nicole, the girl you saw up here a minute ago. Been married 26 years. Truth be known, I bought her wedding ring for the pawn man. Come on, somebody. I mean, I was overcome. I got a good deal. True story. All this is true. But at the time, I thought it was over, that I could never live again. Now, looking at it 26 years later, had I known then what I know now, how resilient God is, how his dream is alive, and how he can take dead things and bring it back, and what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, I would have helped that other girl with her bags. Hey, let me help you out, because guess what? Something great is coming to my life, and her name's Nicole, and she's bringing me a 7-year-old boy who's a great pastor in Florida, who's giving me my second grandbaby in the next 2 weeks. I'm telling you, your life is not over till you decide it's over, and it is not over. This is Resurrection Sunday, where God's going to resurrect your hopes, your dreams, your realities. Don't you give up on God. He's not going to give up on you. Come on, give him praise at all the campuses today. I love C.S. Lewis' quote. It says, Easter is death working backwards. Easter is death working backwards. Another quote by the same man, it says, the resurrection of Jesus gives us the power to close the gap between the life we're living and the life we could live. Because the life you're living might be like you're alive, but you're really not living. My little grandson, he's 3, and he is living. He's living without... He doesn't know there's taxes. He doesn't know that there's bills. He's just living his life. All he knows is his grandma and everybody, you know, everybody in the family. He's the only grandchild. In 2 weeks, his whole world is about to change. He says, I'm about to be a big brother. And I think, man, you don't know what that means. But I believe the inheritance splits, the attention splits. And I'm here to tell you today that this dream that God put on the inside of you, his dream is that you become like a little child and trust him that he can do this. My grandson, he trusts me. You got to trust God. Trust God again. Dream again. Live again. Because I think sometimes even while people are mean, if you ever noticed that there right now, especially in the world, people are really mean. There's a lot of mean people. Like back in the day, are you old enough to remember? Let's do some polling. How many of y'all old enough to remember shag carpet? Raise your hand if you had shag carpet. If you had shag carpet, you probably don't need to be vaccinated because you're good. You've been exposed to everything in the world. How many of y'all old enough to remember like riding in the car with no car seat? Remember, you were old. How many remember in the back of the car, just flopping around in the back of the car? Huh? How many of y'all remember there were no water bottles? Nobody bought water. You drank it out of a hose, and it didn't hurt us. Or the little tick here and there. Okay, so if we go back and we think about back then, people didn't try to kill you when there was a disagreement. I think at the church, for sure, we need to get back to a lot of things really don't matter. You know what matters? That Jesus is crucified. We love each other. God's grace is sufficient for us. And just because somebody sins different than we sin doesn't mean we need to judge them. It probably needs, we need to love them. Because what the world needs now is love, sweet love. Google that song. God's doing something in you even today. I can feel it. No matter what you're going through, it's really not over till you decide that it's over, and it's not over. John 11, I want to read a little bit here. It says, now, a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany in this village. Mary and his sister Martha, the Mary whose brother's Lazarus lay sick, was the same one that poured the perfume to wipe Jesus' feet, also with her hair. And she came, the sister sent word to Jesus, and I love this part. It said, Lord, the one you love is sick. Notice it didn't say the one who loves you. It said the one you love is sick. If you got kids at all campuses, raise your hand if you got kids. Okay, how many would vote? Your kids won't agree with this, but I bet you will. How many of y'all for sure know you definitely love your kids more than they love you? It's just the way it is. If not, you would have killed them at some point in the teen years, right? People like my kids are like, oh man, the terrible twos, I'll be glad when it's done. I'm like, wait till the terrible 13s come. And actually right now at 34, Austin, you're giving me trouble here today, okay? So it's just, kids are a blessing that just keeps on blessing. Yeah. But you love them more than they love you. So my point is, like, God loves you more than you love him. In fact, God loved you so much that he sent his only son. He's got one son, and he sends Jesus to die for you. And if you were the only person that was alive, I know it's hard to believe, but he cared for you that much. In fact, he loved you so much and made you so uniquely that everybody in this crowd, at all of the campuses, thousands of people at church this weekend, your thumbprint is different than anyone else. I don't even know how it's technically possible, because the thumb is only so big, to do that many unique things on a thumb. If you do the crime, you will do the time, unless you're really rich. But here's the deal. God made you uniquely. Said he knows the number of hairs on your head. He cares for you that much. So I love the way they leaned into it. They said, hey, Lazarus, the one you love is sick, and the one you love. And so I want you to focus on the Lord's love for you instead of your love for God. Because you might say, man, God's probably not going to do much for me because I haven't been to church much. I've been doing a lot of bad things. Listen, God takes pleasure in people who do bad things, and he turns bad things around and does a testimony in people's lives. And if he did it for me, he'll do it for you. He's the same God today as he was yesterday, and he's in the resurrection business. Now, you know the story. They go on. Jesus says, okay, I love him. I'm coming in 2 days. It's really confusing because, I mean, you would think if you really loved the guy and he's sick unto death, you'd hurry up and run over there. And Jesus said, no, I'm coming in 2 days. Now he dies. It's over. So everybody's disappointed. Mary's disappointed. After I poured the oil on him because I gave my life to Jesus, and here he is, and he lets my brother die. See, we see through a glass darkly. What is actually happening is God knows better than we know, and he knows if he's dead for 4 days, what they believed in that day is that there's no way that anybody could come back to life, that their spirit hovers for day one, day two, day three, but on the fourth day, it is all over. And when it's all over and there was no hope at all, Jesus shows up. And when Jesus shows up, the resurrection, the life shows up, he comes to the grave. I've actually been in the tomb where Lazarus was. And it's interesting, it's a real cave, but it almost feels like it was built because there's like, it's like spiraled going down into the cave. I was down in the cave thinking, when Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth, I guess he didn't just shoot up through the ground, he had to come through like this. And he was in grave clothes, totally bound. And Jesus comes to the gravesite, and he says, Lazarus, come forth. And the reason why I said, Lazarus, come forth, is because if he had just said, come forth, every grave in the world would have been popping open. It would have been crazier than the Thriller video with Michael. Come on, somebody. All of a sudden now, Lazarus comes up out of the grave. He's standing there, but he's still bound in his grave clothes. He's alive, but he's bound. That leads me to my next point. When you receive Jesus and you first start coming to church, your dream starts resurrecting and your hopes start resurrecting, but you're still bound. Here's the key. His friends came and they started untying him. They started taking off the old grave clothes, and it took a little bit of time. He was alive, but he wasn't free. He was still bound. So when you first come to church and you're like, all right, I went to church. How come I still feel this way? How come I still have these issues? Listen, your spirit man got saved, but your flesh never got saved. In fact, today, I don't want to slap anybody. It's Sunday. I love the Lord. Tomorrow, I will have a holy hangover is what they call it in the church business. So tomorrow, there's a possibility that I might not feel as good as I do today because my flesh never got saved. Does that make sense to you? Same reason why at Thanksgiving, you get full and you say, you know what? I may never eat again. I'm in the mood to lose weight. I don't need to eat again. Anybody ever said that? And then 11 o'clock, somebody brings in the leftovers. You're like, I can breathe again. Bring it on. Am I telling the truth? Raise your hand. Am I telling you? Because that's what your flesh does. But your flesh gets trained when you go to church. Your flesh gets trained when it gets around other believers. Show me your friends. I'll show you your future. And so now he's resurrected. He's alive, but he's not free. And this is where church comes in. This is where, especially, hear me yelling this, your kids. I asked you earlier if you've got kids. You said yes. Those kids need to be brought up in a church. They're being taught in the Word of God, in the way they should go, because God knows they're not getting it at most schools, and they're not getting it by the government. It is your children and your grandchildren, and you need to bring them to the house of God, even if you don't want to go. You need to act saved when you're not saved, because there is a day that they will need salvation, and they will come back to their roots that is found in the local church. Come on, give God praise today. You know that's true. You're here today because of your grandma did, your mama did. You should be dead by now after that shag carpet and every stupid thing that you have done. We should be. Now, as I kind of wrap this up in the next few minutes, I want to try to leave you with a few things that I think could really accelerate your preferred future. Number one, nothing takes God by surprise. Like, God's not up in heaven going, man, I didn't see that that boat was going to like aim itself right towards the middle of the bridge and take it out. Had no clue that all that stuff was going on in P. Diddy's house. Had no clue! And you're watching the news and you're distracted over here and you're distracted over there and you got opinions about this and you got opinions about that, but you're really not growing. You're just being fed information that's not really putting you on the path or the trajectory of your life. Do you remember back in the day before they had social media and the news only came on here in St. Louis, the KSDK, Channel 5, it came on at 5 o'clock. And it came on at 10 o'clock. Raise your hands if you're that old. Raise your hands if you're old enough to remember there was no Netflix. There was 100 channels. There was 3 channels on television. And young kids, listen to me. And it went off like in the middle about 2 a.m. Raise your hand. After Benny Hill. Benny goes off and it goes, oh, say, can you see? And you're like, I'm not ready to go to bed. Put the channel by the dawn's early light. Next channel. And the Rockets. And if the president was on, you were screwed because you had to watch that, dude, because that was the only 3 options that you had. Raise your hand again if you're old, okay? Some of you couldn't raise your hand, but you're old, but I understand you got arthritis. Gotcha. Okay, so back then, we had limited information, so people were reading books. And they were talking to each other. And there weren't 1,000 Starbucks. You made coffee at home, and you went out on the front porch, and you talked to your neighbor. And now, the whole world is upside down, and a lot of people have lost their bearings. I'm not saying that I want to go back that way. I'm just saying that we got to control what is controlling us. And the main thing we have to control is our mind, our will, and our emotion. And realize today, come on somebody, today the tomb of Christ is still the only tourist attraction that people travel from all around the world to see somebody that is not there. Jesus is alive. His hope is alive. And I'm telling you, you need to get back on the train, get in church, and allow God to resurrect you and get you on the right path. Now, there's a certain thing that you're called to do. One of the things you're called to do is be the best version of you that you can be. If you don't be the best version of you, your kids and your grandkids, they're out here lost without the correction and the direction that they need. Again, it's not like, okay, you know, I really want to sell you on going to local church. I could have quit a long time ago. Me and Nicole were very successful in business, and we used our own money to start the church. Still do oftentimes. I didn't take this job because I needed a job. I took it because I saw a lot of people that were like I was, hurting, divorced, betrayed, thought my dreams were over, never live again, never love again. But thank God for the Holy Spirit and Chuck at Fenton Pond. Because you need some people to speak to you and say, you can make it, girl. Just because you've been run over by the caterpillars and just because there's been a lot of dirt on the top of you, it doesn't mean that there's not a seed of greatness on the inside of you that can't pop back up through that hard ground. And I'm begging you today to believe in God, and I'm begging you to believe in yourself. You're stronger than you think you are. You're prettier than you think you are. You must be amazing because God made you. Look at your neighbor and say, I am pretty attractive. When you realize today, as I close, how much God loves you, you're going to want to go back to church. And you're going to want to do it not just for you, but for the people that you love. I looked at my daughter today. We have a bunch of churches, so she can't be everywhere, but she's at Earth City, and I saw her up there. And I love her so much because she looks just like me with hips and lips. She keeps getting injections and her lips keep getting bigger and bigger. But I can't tell you how much I love her. And I know you know that because you have that love for some people. No matter what they do to you, no matter how many times she messes up, I'm still going to be right there. Nicole says, why do you always have to be her attorney? She's never done anything wrong. I have one daughter. I want to make sure I really got her so spoiled that she always wants to be with her dad. And even if she gets married and the guy treats her wrong, he'll bring her back. She's expensive. It's all part of my big plan. You know that feeling that you have towards somebody that you really love. And maybe at one point you were loved by somebody. Maybe your dad, maybe your mom, maybe you didn't have that relationship, but somebody, your aunt, your somebody kind of set you in their lap and makes you feel warm and makes you feel loved and makes you feel accepted. And I'm here to tell you today that there's no way in the world that God would have sent his son all the way down the staircase to put on that earth suit by that holy woman, Mary. And now he bleeds and he dies on an old rugged cross, on the cross of Calvary, to pay for sins that he didn't commit. Just for you. There's a couple things I want you to do. Number one, I want to give you one more opportunity. Watch on my television, watch around the world, watch in our campuses, to pray that prayer. If you didn't pray it earlier with the campus pastor, every head bowed and every eye closed, I want you to pray this prayer with me right now. Say, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus on the cross to die for me. And from this moment forward, I will live for him. I'm going to read your book. I'm going to go to your house, and I'm just going to talk to you. Even though I don't really know how, I'm just going to talk to you like I would talk to somebody else. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, the next step that you need to take is water baptism. This is where if Jesus needed to be baptized, you certainly do. And Jesus models this when he is baptized in the River Jordan. And when you get baptized, what you're doing is you're identifying with his death when you go under the water. Then you're identifying with his resurrection and new life when you come up out of the water. And next Sunday in Florida at Royal Palm and West Palm and all the churches in Florida, all the churches in St. Louis, we're going to be baptizing people. And here's another thing. You can invite your friends and family to come watch you do this. This is an outward sign, like a wedding. You're going public with your faith. And if you don't have family, here's the great thing about Faith Church. We are your family, and we're going to have hundreds of people around the tank celebrating you and what Jesus has done in your life, because the rest of your life is going to be the best of your life. In Jesus' name. Was that all right for today? If it was, give the Lord a hand. Love you so much.